just welcome everyone to tonight's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate University that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight is the first webinar in a series of CCL trainings designed to help empower us as citizens, constituents, and residents throughout this larger country and world who are planning to meet with our members of Congress and really gain some basic knowledge that we'll need to understand Congress and what it's like to lobby them as a citizen. So tonight we're having the chance to hear from first speakers as well as one of our regional coordinators about their aha moment when really the transformative power of citizen advocacy clicked for them. And we'll also put a link to our training page where you can get a preview of looking ahead some of the upcoming trainings in the sequence too. We always encourage any of those that you might be curious about to brush up and build additional skill sets in, as well as the two that Danny Richter, our Vice President of Government Affairs, is going to be hosting for everyone planning on attending our June lobby meetings. But with that, though, I would love to welcome our co-presenter tonight, the wonderful Bill Barron. Bill is the regional coordinator for CCL's Mountain West region, is committed to the idea that building relationships is the key to our success, and is focused on supporting volunteers, encouraging creativity and engagement, and building CCL community throughout that Mountain West and the seven states that comprise it. And Bill is here to support you tonight and share experiences as we find ways to expand our presence with our members of Congress using all of the levers of political will. So our agenda tonight is very straightforward. We're going to highlight stories to help demonstrate the power of you and your advocacy making a difference, as well as the opportunity that all of us have to really step up and make a transformation in our Congress through participating in our government. We're going to have a chance to learn from the founder of CCL. That's really going to launch this, Marshall Saunders, and his aha moment. And then we'll have a chance to learn from some stories of empowerment and learn about the citizen advantage and how to build relationships from a wide variety of other CCL volunteers that you can see featured here on our story map. We're going to hear from CCL youth, Nick and Remy, both in the Lincroft, New Jersey chapter. We're going to hear from CCL's Latinos Action Team co-leader, Alfonso Saldana. And we're also going to hear from CCL New Hampshire State Coordinator, John Gage. But with that, though, what I'd love to do is just center us tonight and start with Marshall. So as many of us on the line tonight know, Marshall passed away this past December after founding CCL back in 2007. And really infusing the very cultural DNA behind our organization's mission, purpose, and whole identity within the larger climate movement. And as the founder of Citizens Climate Lobby, Marshall always made a great case for what it means to be an active and engaged citizen. We know already we live in a country where citizen engagement is valued and encouraged, how lucky we are for that. And even in this COVID era, where we're really figuring out how to and what are the tools to engage our Congress, we know that there's effective ways that we can still show up, meet with, and demonstrate the importance of advocacy for climate solutions. Now, we also know this. The word lobbying might carry for some negative connotations stemming from the practice of paid professional lobbying. That's not anything that we can avoid. I know that there's a scarlet letter for many people with that dirty L word. But for us as citizens, it's not only our right, but our duty to be engaged and to express our voice. And Marshall didn't back down from reminding of us that politicians don't create political will. They respond to it. For Marshall, his aha moment was when he realized that ordinary people like you and me have the chance to organize and educate ourselves and give up that sense of hopelessness or powerlessness that we might feel and gain the skills that we too need to be effective in our own government. So with that, what I'd love to do is just share a little preview. If anyone is interested in learning more about Marshall's story and the background behind how and what he was thinking when he founded Citizens Climate Lobby, there's a wonderful long-form Citizens Climate Radio interview with him. And this is just a 1-minute teaser to really give you a kind of window into Marshall's spirit, who is joining us tonight.
And it is trusting that ordinary people can get the job done. It's a trusting in ordinary people. You know, not people who have made it, not people who are powerful, but ordinary people. You know, and if people are not demonstrating that, well, they can. They can. They need a little encouragement, a little breakthrough, like I had. So, you know, it's one step at a time.
Marshall's story started long before he founded CCL, and if you have attended this Lobby 101 training in the past, you've heard the powerful story of advocacy and really what got Sam Daly Harris, the founder of another powerful nonprofit, Results, started, and his quest from hopelessness to action. We won't go into that tonight, but we will give you a link to that story if you're interested as well as Sam's a link to his 20th anniversary edition of Reclaiming Our Democracy, which actually features a chapter on Citizens Climate Lobby and the influence that we've had in the citizen advocacy movement. But Sam and the whole Results movement have really helped catalyze the energy of thousands of volunteers and provided that organizational framework for which really Marshall built out the cultural DNA of how we as citizens can be effective with our own lobbying in Congress as well for CCL. So with that though, what I'd like to do tonight is just pivot now to really focus on the role of citizen lobbyists. So we know that we as individuals have experienced a sense of empowerment. That's something that really all of us can identify in our own lives, a time where we've had the chance to realize that our own active participation has helped shape the impact of a cause or a purpose that we care about. But let's hear directly from some of those individuals and CCL leaders about their own aha moments and really what helped them step into leadership and out of their comfort zone. First up, we're going to hear about the story of Alfonso Saldana, the co-leader of CCL's action team, and he's going to talk about the power of stepping out of our comfort zone to really be able to achieve our larger goals. And in his story, you'll hear him share about that sensation of being heard, about the courage that he gained through speaking to his representatives, and the opportunities that exist in this far middle space that we're creating in CCL for people of all backgrounds, experiences, and perspectives to come together.
Hi, my name is Alfonso Saldana. I am the co-leader for the Latino Action Team and former chapter leader for the Brunswick chapter. When I joined CCO back in 2018 after attending the first summit, it was completely empowering because, like I said, I am a first-generation Mexican-American. My parents are law-abiding citizens that try never to stand above the crowd. Hardworking people, like many in down in the valley in South Texas. And for me to travel all across the nation, to be able to speak to my representatives about a topic that is really important to me, as to many other people, climate change, which is an impending doom on humanity if we do not act now, was completely mesmerizing. It was a completely mesmerizing experience. That sensation of being heard, being able to speak to my representatives, gave me the courage that I needed to embark on some other civil rights fights that are going on. I feel that everyone needs to step at some point out of their comfort zone in order to achieve something. And for me, the fact that I was able to be on a one-on-one with my representative made me realize that are just everyday people like us. Like I said earlier, sometimes you need to do a step away from your comfort zone in order to fight for something that you believe in, which was the case for the Latino Action Team and for climate change. Because I've learned a lot, I became able to fight my fear of public speaking every month by having to host the call and engaging with the people, making the group grow, planning their activities for the month ahead, and giving them a sense of community, which is the most important thing that TCO has to offer, a sense of community that is rare to find. Here, you're able to talk to people that are not necessarily on your political spectrum, as we have people from the right and the left, and now the far middle. I feel really proud to be a part of a place of conversation.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really great to hear that story. I remember my first visit to Washington, D.C. in 2010 and how nervous I was going into my first meeting, and really walking out of there from the experience, feeling the empowerment of stepping out of my comfort zone and speaking up for what's important to me and what I felt like our country should be doing. So as we said, Alfonso hits on a really important point, which is there's a simple reason why we have stereotypes associated with lobbying and why companies pay so much for lobbyists. It's because it works. Successful lobbyists, whether they are a paid professional or a passionate citizen, develop relationships. Unfortunately, you don't need millions of dollars to develop relationships. So what is our role as citizens? We know that it's not possible for a member of Congress or their staff to know every detail about various policies. They rely on others to inform them. That's one reason we meet with them. The other thing to consider is that is this: if we are not meeting with them, then who is? Lobbyists meet with the office frequently, so should we. Lobbying is simply expressing your voice and making the case for what you want Congress to do. There are two types of constituents, and they are not always given equal weight. Let me give you an example. Say you are attending a town hall meeting, and a fellow constituent stands up and says, "I think we should reduce our greenhouse gas emissions." That's a constituent with an opinion, and the congresswoman will file that in one part of her brain. But if that same constituent says, "I think we should reduce our greenhouse gas emissions because my 3-year-old daughter has respiratory problems, and I'm worried about the health impacts on her developing lungs," the congresswoman is likely to to store that story in a completely different compartment. The person has a much stronger bond to the legislator, and the congresswoman has a much greater obligation to integrate her concerns into the decision-making process. The lesson here is that constituents with a genuine interest and a story are more likely to have influence than those who are just voicing their opinion. Especially as we will eventually transition out of the COVID era, when setting a legislator's daily agenda, constituents always figure prominently. Any constituent who makes the effort to travel to Washington almost always will get a meeting with a member of Congress or her staff. In fact, a survey of congressional staffers from the Congressional Management Foundation finds that constituents who are able to express an interest, not just an opinion, have more influence. Before our examples tonight and later lessons in this series discuss how to build a relationship with your member of Congress or their staff, let's take a quick look at some of the differences between CCL lobbying and professional lobbying and where we have an advantage. Paid lobbyists are hired guns. They're paid to have an opinion. Frequently, they're in D.C. lobbying, and rarely are they in the district. The citizen lobbyists are constituents. They're passionate. They're authentic. They have authentic interests. Occasionally, they're in D.C. and always in the district. The take-home message is that we are offering something very different than what has been traditionally done before. However, we do not have every advantage. We have a passionate interest in the topic, not an opinion, and we live and vote in the lawmaker's district. So we ought to play to our advantages.
Yeah, here's to that, Bill. And I think you've hit on a really key point that a lot of us listening in can probably deeply identify with. And that is just that this and what we're about to engage in is, you know, something that naturally is bringing us out of our comfort zones. And so one of the most powerful metaphors that we have to really demonstrate that this is something that each of us has really stepped into and that, you know, we've gone through in our own experiences and really found strength on the other side is this analogy that really comes from, you know, a developmental psychology perspective. As we grow and encounter new challenges, that space of comfort around us expands as well. And so building on that comfort zone analogy, where you might be right now and where you want to be, that gap is where the magic happens. And all of us in our own growth and advocacy can experience that magic happening. So let's jump into another story. This comes from our CCL New Hampshire State Coordinator, John Gage, with his experience and perspective of what really helped him grow in his journey with CCL.
I'm John Gage. I live in Windham, New Hampshire. And I joined Citizens Climate Lobby in May of 2016. After 3 years of struggling to address climate change on my own, and the way that I was doing it at the time as an introverted software engineer was to go onto news articles online and comment underneath them and do research and science and provide informative links and kind of using a positive approach, thinking that people would take my point of view more seriously if I looked, you know, well-centered. Anyway, I found CCL with a Google search and went down to the June conference about 3 weeks later. I was in tears like every hour. Like I had been distraught about the problem, but they were kind of, it was an epiphany. It was just tears of joy that holy cow, I'm found my home. As far as experiences that have helped expand my comfort zone. Well, if you go back to the training of this is yourself in the center of a circle and this is your comfort zone and this is where the magic happens. Something happened to me after a couple years of that and I just lost the boundary entirely because I saw the magic of doing things that I was not comfortable doing. And the support and resources that I get constantly from Citizens Climate Lobby make me feel like I'm standing on a firm platform. This year, after testifying in the State House, I was just talking with a couple other leaders of climate groups in New Hampshire. And one of them thought, well, we could do a citizens petitioned warrant article to let our town voters vote in favor of the state carbon pricing bill that we just attended the hearing for. And one of the legislators came over and said, hey, that's a great idea. If you wanted to, I could help you with the text a little bit and you could do it for multiple towns. You could just do a template that people in multiple towns could do to let voters say yes or no about this state carbon fee and dividend bill. And there were a couple of CCL people, including me there. And someone said, well, if you're doing this at the state level, maybe we could tack on a little language to say at the state and federal level, we could do carbon fee and dividend pricing. Everybody kind of just said, this sounds like a good idea. Let's meet for coffee next week. So I was never a person to meet anybody for coffee ever before. Now this is what I do. We had a great coffee and we just hashed out this idea. What do we need? And it happened. We ended up getting 81 different towns involved, but town champions that didn't know anything about carbon pricing. People that were worried about climate change and wanted to do something, they thought a town vote about climate was a good idea. And then we were able to educate them about carbon pricing and they were able to educate their town about it. And this was everybody from high school students to retired scientists to, you know, just everyday people who were concerned about climate change. And what a rewarding feeling. We have the website carboncashback.org. What better way to describe carbon fee and dividend than cashback carbon pricing to somebody who's never heard of it before?
Right. Thank you so much for sharing, John. And obviously, I think that experience is one that can really resonate with all of us here on the line as well tonight. So speaking of building relationships, I'll actually pass it back to you, Bill, to really walk through how we might do that, whether it's in the state house, the federal house, whoever it is, with our lawmakers.
Great. Thanks, Brett. So from John's example, how do we go about building long-term, meaningful relationships with our members of Congress or their staff? Dale Carnegie's training taught us the best way to win friends and influence people is to understand someone else's problems and interests. This advice still rings true today. As advocates, it's important for us to understand how to influence someone. As an advocate, you'll be much more powerful by starting a conversation by asking about a congressman's kid who just went to college, or mention that you saw her picture in the newspaper recently at a ribbon cutting, or congratulating them on a recent legislative accomplishment. Remember, part of the reason that lobbyists are so successful at their job is because they know the issues. They become trusted advisors or policy experts. We can do that as well. We have specific information regarding how our policy will impact their state or district. No one else has that information. Every congressional office knows those in-district advocates who stay on top of issues and don't hesitate to offer help or advice on how a legislator should vote. Keeping a regular contact with your legislators provides a valuable service to legislators and staff and keeps them accountable to voters. Finally, the CCL way is always to operate with respect, appreciation, and gratitude. It's not just a slogan, it's a cornerstone of who we are and how you build relationships. First and foremost, congressional offices want to meet with constituents. According to congressional staffers, in-person visits from constituents are the most influential way to communicate with a senator or a representative who is undecided on an issue. We understand that not everyone will be able to join us online this year from the district, so there's a small chance you may be in a constituent list meeting. Even though no constituents are in the meeting, we still have information about how our policy will impact their district. Remember, that's the most valuable tool we have at our disposal. If you think about it, paid lobbyists are not constituents either. However, they are always meeting with staffers and members of Congress. If this is the case, consider yourself there to act like a policy advisor. Additionally, mention that we have constituents or supporters in the district. In these instances, it's important to consider a couple of things. As a non-constituent, you are charged with a duty to complement or enhance the relationship so the constituents can pick up where you left off. This is to help bolster the relationship of the constituents. If there are no constituents in the meeting, assume the role of someone who represents the constituents' interests and speak on their behalf. Is there a way you can still bring their voice to the meeting with letters or other correspondence? Of course, there's a lot more to building relationships than these three things. They can start on this framework, but blossom in many different directions. So once you know your office, are a trusted advisor, and are in frequent contact, then you'll practice situational awareness to figure out how to deepen the relationship. The most valuable gift a lobbyist gives a member of Congress isn't a campaign contribution. It's a detailed analysis of how a particular issue affects the lawmaker's district or state. Some state associations, nonprofits, and corporate leaders may offer this data. Many do not. And we can say with certainty that very few beyond our own volunteer network is identifying and researching how the Energy Innovation Act affects our legislators' constituents. This is our most valuable tool. We have the information and are trained on how to communicate about the benefits and strengths of the bipartisan climate solution, H.R. 763, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act.
Thanks so much, Bill. And really building off of your emphasis of the most valuable tool that we as citizen lobbyists can employ is that knowledge of a policy impact on the state or local district. Let's review how you can find a lot of these local policies, studies, and reports in CCL Community. So the key thing is going to be logging on to CCL Community. That's just community.citizensclimate.org. And then on that top menu, click resources and training, and there's a drop down that allows you to go to all resources. And then if you scroll down, you know, we've got all these resources organized by the lever, but there's one called studies and reports and one below it called local impacts too. So both of these would be helpful, but I'll just highlight for studies and reports, for example, look at all of these options available for you. So you can have polling data. You can look at the specific household level impact of what, you know, a fee and dividend might look like in your zip code. You can look at the health co-benefits broken down across state. You can do additional data set analysis with the Energy Innovation Act if you click on the data set link. If you're more curious about kind of like the actual climate impacts, all of these resources throughout the years have done a wonderful job of highlighting stories on the state level, and some of them even on the regional or the zip code level. But that's a great place that we always encourage people to start. And I'm guessing that there's a lot of people on the line that, whether it's with a CCL meeting yet or some other instance, have already had the chance to really share in their own chance to be in a lobby meeting. So I'd love to just invite everyone, if you have been a constituent or even an attendee in a lobby meeting, what was that like for you? And I think the key thing, as people are sharing to identify here, is that this all fits within our mission and our vision as an organization, right? So we exist, all of us, looking around this webinar. We exist to create the political will for a livable world. And we're going to do that through enabling all of us experiencing personal and political breakthroughs in exercising our own power. And that is so transformative when we think about what those experiences look like and when we remember that politicians don't create political will but respond to it. And it's our job as citizens to generate so much of it that they have no other choice than to do what we ask them. So we as an organization, we strive to empower ourselves to really develop relationships with our representatives so we can help Congress see there's political will for the Energy Innovation Act and these key pieces of climate legislation, and also to really just slow down and endeavor to remind all of us that our voice makes a difference. By showing up, we can have an impact. And I think one powerful story to close us tonight before we go to Q&A and really practice and think through our own stories is that of Nick and Remy, two CCL youth from CCL New Jersey Lincroft, who actually were so inspired by their experience in CCL being volunteers that they put together a short Zoom presentation to the rest of their high school classmates. So here's a little excerpt of their story as well.
We've had a lot of great experiences, so we wanted to try to share that with other people and, you know, hopefully show people our age how they can get involved with climate action, because that's, you know, one of the biggest issues that we're facing today. So this is just a little bit about us. About me, I just actually got involved with Citizens Climate Lobby through speech and debate. I was going to competitions around New Jersey, actually with Remy, though she does debate, I do speech. And I was friends with somebody who did a speech on climate change and, you know, environmental protections. And she was talking about Citizens Climate Lobby and how she was able to go to DC as a high schooler and talk to congresspeople about why she cared about the climate. And I thought that was really, really cool. So I got involved, I signed up online, and then I joined the Lincroft chapter, and it's just been really great from there. So it was kind of intimidating, but then after I signed up a few days later, I got a call from Sarah Fischel, who is the co-leader of the Lincroft chapter. And, you know, she was just like, hi, how are you? I saw you signed up. It's great to have you. How old are you? And I told her my age, and she was like, that's great. Like, usually I would have expected them to be like, oh, well then maybe we can't let you do some of the things. Like maybe we can't let you write letter to the editors and have, you know, our name with your article published. But no, they wanted me to do all that. They really wanted my voice. Rather than, you know, thinking I'm too young to do all of this, they really were happy that I was there. So all of that is, you know, it's the people are the reason why I've realized that this is the organization that I want to be involved in.
And I joined because Nick was in it and he was like telling me all about it. And then there were some speakers at our school that also continued to talk about it. And I was like, why not? Perfect opportunity to get involved.
Why is it important that we bring in younger people? Younger people have really powerful voices. And, you know, while we're 25% of the population right now, which is already a huge voting demographic, we are 100% of the future. So I think that we're in a really good place to use our voices.
Well, I think it's also really important because as young people, like, we're more, some of us are, like, a lot more open to, like, learning more. So, like, as more science comes in and more facts come in, we're more, like, reactive to that. So we're more likely to fight for climate change.
Yeah, and actually, I was lucky enough to go to D.C. and lobby and talk to Congress people and their staffs. And they light up when they see a younger person because, you know, we're there for really what we care about. While a lot of the adults, you know, they're there lobbying, they're paid to just convince people of what their company wants or things like that. While kids are there because it's their future. It was really empowering because, you know, these Congress people wanted to hear from people my age. And it was really empowering to see that I was literally in the office of, you know, a congressperson who can sign this bill and add their vote to it and make it happen. And it wasn't impossible to make that happen either. CCL has been so supportive in, you know, not only making sure that I was able to get there, stay in a hotel room, and meet all these people and organizing my schedule, but I was really able to communicate with them for 30 minutes or more in some cases. And while I can't say that I necessarily revolutionized climate, I think me and a few other volunteers who met with the Congress people, we made a difference in making their office a little bit more concerned about climate and making them realize that people in their district cared about this.
Thank you so much, Nick and Remy, for taking the time to really inspire us and remind all of us that no matter, you know, how big or small our voices might feel, by showing up and participating in our government, we do make a difference. And for all those listening in that identify as young adults and youth, we definitely encourage you also to reach out and get active with CCL's youth team. And the simple way to do that, you can find out more information on CCL Community, but you can also just email youth@citizensclimate.org in a feature right here on their story slide and get in touch with the co-leads of that action team. They're doing really essential work. So I'd like to just encourage all of you, especially kind of based on what you've heard already tonight with these example stories, what influence would you like to have? Take a moment to consider an opinion that you hold, and especially related to climate change, and then how you might transform this opinion into a personal interest or story, like Bill highlighted, that would more deeply resonate with your member of Congress. How could you connect with them and really emphasize the story that you have to share? We encourage you to start writing that down even tonight so you can reference it in advance of your own future meetings with your member of Congress. And it can be anything from, you know, Bill's example of the mom with an interest, her own daughter's respiratory problems, to, you know, maybe you're a farmer or a construction worker and you're seeing industries facing business impacts that you can already succinctly connect to your own story. You know, here's one final quick example. You're 30 years in the insurance industry. You've seen reinsurance has had increasingly historic costs due to the unpredicted rise of extreme weather events. And you're also a current small business owner and a centrist voter. You're here to look out for your business's bottom line, and you're here to also pitch a policy that's supported by both sides of the aisle. Whatever it might be, really taking the chance to practice your own story in advance and putting that time in is going to help you thrive for your lobby meeting. All right, with that practice, let's wrap up for tonight. You have begun. You are on the path moving towards Marshall's message. We need to take our education, our powerlessness, and hopelessness into our own hands to be the most effective we can be with our government. And amidst all of the details you've just learned, here are three key takeaways. Citizen lobbying matters. Despite its negative stereotype, lobbying is simply one way to build relationships, and it works. It doesn't take money to be a great lobbyist, simply an awareness and recognition of what matters and which approaches work best. And we have important advantages as citizen lobbyists. Our members of Congress are eager to hear from us as their constituents and to listen to us in a different way than they would to other paid lobbyists. They recognize the value we offer as eyes and ears in the district and as educated resources on issues that they too can care about. And lastly, there are particular approaches that can help us be more effective. Getting to know your congressional office, becoming a trusted advisor and building that relationship, communicating frequently, showing up, being visible, and demonstrating respect, appreciation, and gratitude all go a long way towards reaching our goal. So to close us out tonight, let's center back in the legacy that Marshall Saunders has left us all, especially in grounding us in building an army of citizen lobbyists and volunteers in gratitude, appreciation, and respect. Here's Marshall's words of inspiration to close out one of our national conferences.
We are building an army, a peaceful army, and our weapons are truth and nonviolence, and as we keep saying over again, respect and admiration for those who would oppose us. You and I are engaged in a battle for all of life. All of life. Not just humankind, but for all of life. I don't see anybody else coming. You know, when you get in a dire situation, the cavalry shows up, right? Well, I think, I'm sure of it, you are the cavalry. We are the cavalry. And we're going to win. And there's no choice about it. There's no choice. We're going to win.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.